Lawn Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketing! Border charcoal, that bastard!
Beast!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny. Do not vomit me.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 88 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Thursday, January 14th, 2016. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about special teams, special needs, and special people. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up? How about special broadcasters?
Yeah, that'll be that too.
Does that lump in with special people?
Where do you think I got that from? Yes. And Jive.
I'm a little slow tonight.
Hey. So we're a little bit delayed this week because someone couldn't make it here on Sunday.
Pardon me?
Someone was busy becoming a grandfather.
I wasn't too busy, but, you know.
Yeah.
Your daughter was?
Just the waiting game. Hey, don't go there, man.
Well, come
don't
on.
Don't go there.
What? She was busy in labor.
Okay.
What did you think I meant?
I don't think he was actually going there.
Maybe not.
In all fairness, he wasn't going the dirty route there.
Kenny's mind is usually in the gutter.
Not this time. I mean, come on, man. I've got two little sisters that I haven't been in the room with, but,
okay,
you know, they've pushed out their fair share of kids.
You weren't in the room while they were busy? That's good.
No. No, that's quite okay.
See how I like flipped it around? I took Kenny's dirty and I made it dirty. So
you took Kenny's
non-dirty and made it dirty?
You took Kenny's clean and made it dirty.
Right, right. So, Jive.
Kenny laundering.
So, Jive, the real question is, are you going to be joining AARP anytime soon?
I believe that I still have not reached that age limit yet. So
are you going to be a great grandfather before you retire?
Man, that is very, very possible, isn't it? I guess. If you do the math, if I can't retire till, let's see here, I think the IRS says no, I got to work until
90?
72 or 73. Yeah, by the time I get up there, they'll tell me I got to work till I'm 90. So yeah, there's a good chance of it.
At that point, you might be like a great. Great grandfather.
Whoa.
You should have just spent some money on the Powerball and then you'd be rich because, you know.
Oh, I forgot to buy my ticket tonight.
Oh, man.
That's all right.
At least I didn't get lucky and die on the way to the convenience store because I heard you have a better chance of dying on your way to the store than you do of winning the Powerball.
Aaron... Too soon, man. Too soon.
Too soon.
Aaron and I were talking and I basically you have a better chance of getting hit by lightning twice, I think.
Probably even more than that, yeah.
Wow.
Than winning the Powerball.
So did you guys play the Powerball tonight then?
No.
Well, of course.
Me and Kenny debated nefarious things we could do with that money. Like, because really, at that amount of money, you're beyond as rich. You can become evil villain rich. You know?
$1 billion.
Right. No. Rat man. Rat man.
Because why not?
Or,
you know, you could go buy the Timberwolves and just disband them, you know? Because why not? You know, you could basically be the Norm Green of Minnesota basketball. Because why not?
I thought about just buying, you know, U.S. Bank Stadium. Just to buy it so I could stick the first stick of dynamite in it and destroy it.
I don't know. Is a billion enough to buy it back?
Well, maybe not.
With the land and everything? I don't know.
Well, what if I just buy the land underneath it and say, hey, it's my land. I can do whatever I want to it.
Make your rat cavern the rat cave?
The rat cave.
And then your rat your rat mobile will come blasting out of down by the river.
So I'd be a river
you
rat.
Thought way too so, hard about this.
Do I need to grow out a rat tail at the same time?
Those should come back, man. Yeah. Wow.
Kenny, you need to do this.
You're bring, the you're bring the only the rat tail back.
You're the only one who can grow hair, so you might as well grow a rat tail.
I tell you, you need to make sure that I win the Powerball and I will grow a rat tail and become Rat Man and live down in the sewer my billions of dollars.
Yeah, and one of Kenny's other great ideas as Rat Man was to buy the locks on the Mississippi River and just open them up so all the evil fish would come swimming upstream.
Well, no, just so people could boat up there.
Oh, but then you'd be like a toll master as well.
Yeah.
You're basically like cornering evil villain kind of territory. I really liked it, you know?
Well, you know, I did think about buying all the buildings next to the vegan and vegetarian restaurants and putting butcher shops in.
Or buying the crack stacks and putting in super slides.
That was your idea. My idea was to make them sign a waiver so you weren't liable if they used them.
And just leave them derelict.
Oh, wow, we just went down the dredge of humanity right there before our show even started. And we still haven't talked about NBC yet.
Pow, zoink, wonk. Anyway, you know, before we get too much into the Ratman things of the show, you know, like...
Ratman!
We'd just like to remind you, follow us on Twitter. We're at 3 in the Box. So let's talk hockey already. So Wild go 2-2-1 on the week. Week can change now. Wins against the Stars on the road, which is a great thing, right? And then a win on against the Blue Jackets. Overtime loss against the Flyers, and then losses against the Devils and the Sabres.
So basically, we beat two teams we should have lost to and got our asses handed to us against two teams we should have beat.
Yep, and then we treaded water with the team we could have treaded water with. Yet another 3-on-3 loss. That was the one against the Flyers. I felt, you know, I was blessed to have been in the arena when the game was going on.
So you didn't get the joys of listening to the Philly broadcasters with us common folk.
Yes, no, I did not hear them slurping the proverbial wiener of Philly fans during said broadcast.
They're rough fans, though. You gotta watch out for those Philly people.
Yeah, so they don't throw batteries at you or something like that.
I gotta say, even though...
I am not Chuck Knoblock, damn it.
Well, at least you're not Santa Claus in Philly.
Right, exactly.
Because Santa Claus, they just beat the hell out of.
Right.
But I gotta say, even with the Philly broadcasters, they seem more neutral than the typical NBC broadcasters, which is not surprising.
Well, it's saying something, really. But you know, I was there. I was lucky enough to be there. I gotta say, it was my first time being able to see 3-on-3 in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's even more exciting in person.
Oh, dude, I gotta bring you to some better parties.
Yeah. Well, and I gotta say though, it was really nice. I thought the Wild played really well in 3-on-3 this time, even though they lost. Mm-hmm. They had plenty of good chances and good opportunities to actually, you know, get a goal. But it like the 3-on-3s have gone, they just couldn't materialize an actual, you know, goal in the extra five there.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think that the Wild's luck in the 3-on-3s, I mean,
luck or skill?
Well, they've had chances.
Yeah, they have. Totally have.
And they haven't gone away, you know, or been gone in the net for them. But I think that's honestly why we're sitting where we're sitting in the standings right now. I mean, not saying that we're in a horrible spot, but we're not in the greatest spot.
You've
got to
convert some of those opportunities. That's right. You know, and they haven't been doing them with enough consistency.
Right.
You know.
Well, yeah, Jive, I mean, I guess you're kind of right with that. Because, I mean, the Wild are sitting in the best spot that they have been first half of the season.
Right.
In ever or just in a long time? I think that it's basically been, for the most part, since the Wild's been a franchise, they've had the most points going into the second half of the season.
But where do we sit in our own division?
Right, and that's really what matters. Yeah. Because we're in the division of death right now, you know? And
if you're not in a top four spot, you're out.
Yeah.
In
the division.
And honestly, with any pro sport, it's what have you done for me lately? You know, okay, great, you did well in the first half. Okay, it's now January, and you're treading water. Mm-hmm. You got to start winning here.
Yeah.
And 500 is not going to cut it.
It's not going to get us there.
You know, no. you can get three field goals and miss the fourth one, and everybody rags on you about it.
But
other big things during the week, you know, the Wild, they came within 5 minutes of shutting out Dallas for the first time on the road.
I called it. I called the shutout, and I think I'm still blaming Audra on this one.
No, Nocerkanius failed.
Audra jinxed it, I think, right at the end.
Yeah, we enlisted you know, Keith Leventhal to validate that there hasn't been a Wild shutout in Dallas yet. And yeah,
they've only had two wins.
The Wild have had two shutouts against the Stars,
but only two wins in Dallas, or
only two shutouts against
two
Dallas.
Two shutouts,
but both were at home, none on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And we missed out on that one. Another big thing is we had another high stick that drew blood. I think it's the second time in 2 weeks here where we've had a high stick drawing blood. This time was Spurgeon. Versus Dallas, Sagan wailing away at his stick and nails Spurgeon right in the face. Blood is everywhere.
They couldn't even hide it from TV. I mean, as soon as they showed him, I mean, they
had to stop play and go clear the ice of blood.
It was gushing. It looked like Niagara coming out of that guy's nose.
Nice. So this is now two high sticking penalties, or what should have been high sticking majors that have not been called in the last 2 weeks. So I gotta wonder, should these high sticking calls be reviewable? I mean, at what point are you're already stopping play for them to get off the ice? Why is this not? It's not a matter of slowing down play because you're already stopping play.
Yeah.
At what point do you start reviewing this stuff?
Then you're gonna go down that rabbit hole of having to review other penalties as well.
Why couldn't it be just another coach's challenge? You know, coach's challenge. You missed a call.
Yeah, you know? But a coach can't challenge a penalty, though.
Why can't he? Just because they don't in football doesn't mean they can't in hockey.
Why can they?
They can with goaltender interference.
For a goal.
Right.
For a goal, but yeah. Not for the penalty.
Well, it's not for the penalty, but that's basically a penalty there.
It's going to negate a goal is all it's going to do.
And we saw
they can't call the penalty off of that.
No.
We've seen that before, though.
But why? Just because we don't now doesn't mean we can't in the future. Right?
Hey, no, we're creatures of habit and tradition, so we're not going to do that.
Really?
That's right.
That's a terrible way to look at things.
Change is bad. No, but really, I don't know. It's going to get way too nitpicky if you start allowing people to, you know, say whether or not this was a penalty or that was a penalty by, you know, waving the flag and saying, I want to challenge this. Because
coaches are already using their challenges every game.
That's fine.
You know,
they're there for. They're there to be used.
So why not just make this a challengeable call? It's just a different type of way that they can challenge it, you know. So that means we're probably less likely to see those BS challenges at the end of the game where, I think that was offsides on that empty net goal. Better take, you know, 2 minutes to review this. You know, why not have it something more meaningful in the game, like, you know, in the second or first period, rather than some baloney at the end of the game.
Well, they don't want to blow their one chance to challenge something in the beginning of the game anyways.
Yeah, but these two Wild ones, if Yo had a challenge, it could have challenged it. There's blood on the ice. They know who's been harmed. They would definitely, Yo would have definitely challenged that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I really think that if you want to bring penalties into the mix and use your challenges to pick on every little petty thing or a trip or, you know, then we're going to get into these, you know, pissing matches, basically, where people are wondering, you know, oh, well, was that a dive? You know, should we get, I mean, it's way too subjective is what I guess I would say. And if it isn't caught at the moment, I would say that it just needs to be passed on. I mean, it just, it's part of the game. It's how it goes. Just like sometimes calls don't go your way. I mean, that means that we need to be able to go back and review every single little, push or pull that happens.
Well, okay, so maybe not for every call, but something that draws blood that obviously there is a stick involved or a fist or a skate or, you know, not just your typical, you know, he missed a trip call, but you got a guy who's bleeding out on the ice. I would think something like
that. He was bleeding out?
He was, well, he could have been had they left him.
Severed that artery, huh?
I mean, that's something I think that there's an obvious infraction that happened that should be looked at, not just ignored.
Well, actually, this is totally not in the realm, but, you know, maybe part of the problem is that there's a difference between high-sticking and high-sticking with blood. Just because a guy might be more prone to bleed, does that mean the penalty should be worse, actually?
All right.
You know, what if you spear him and he's internally bleeding? Oh, you don't see it. Well, too bad.
You got to puncture that.
You got to really go for it.
Sharpen your stick a little bit more.
Or it becomes like a wrestling match, you know, where they've got
cutting themselves.
They've got a razor blade in their glove, you know.
Or blood capsule in their mouth. And they're like, oh,
man, yeah. I mean.
Who had the emo haircut?
Spurgeon off the turnbuckle.
who had the emo haircut?
Scandella.
Scandella. So is he out cutting himself at that point? Writing in his journal?
Down the river, not across the road.
Remember, yeah. It's down the road, not across the street.
Right. Oh, boy.
Don't take that to any meaning, kids. We're not condoning anything here.
Okay, so the other big thing that happened this past Wild Week, and it's big, but not really. In the grand scheme of things, it's not going to alter anything. However, it was very irritating. It was during the NBC sports broadcast. They basically missed 5 to 10 minutes. I mean,
two goals.
They missed two goals.
Parise getting his goal against his former team, the very last team for him to score a goal against in the NHL.
Well, it's more than just missing it. Their broadcast stopped for an entire 5 to 10 minutes. We were so angry, we blacked out during that period.
Media blackout.
It was a media blackout.
No, we blacked out. We don't know exactly what we tweeted. We straight up blacked out.
We take no responsibility for that.
Yep.
But there was really nothing. The only way we knew goals were scored was either late reports from NBC Sports or Russo's tweets. So really, and honestly, I don't think we've ever seen anything like that from Fox Sports, ever.
No.
It was so bad, it was getting long. They like, oh, since we can't broadcast you this game, let's give you Edmonton.
Or Anaheim.
Yay! We missed Parise's first goal against his former team, the Devils. And we missed the goal that actually was the go-ahead goal.
For New Jersey.
For New Jersey. So, obviously, we've got a lot of complaints with NBC sports in general. Should they even be allowed to broadcast Wild games at this point? Because this is ridiculous now.
Well, let's see. Considering the Philly game, it might have been on their network, but it wasn't them broadcasting it. It was all the Philly broadcasters in
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was two games in a row that NBC basically kind of lost it at the X.
The problem is union workers.
Oh, they're all local.
Yep.
And so they're still getting paid the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the word was that there was a momentary power dip in the arena, and that killed the satellite truck for NBC, and that's
hilarious at the XL Energy Center.
It's called a UPS.
And the backup
uninterruptible
Jenny.
Or that we have power problems at the XL Energy Center.
Yes.
Who is likely supplying the power mm-hmm. to the XL Energy Center.
Did they bill himself for that?
Maybe NBC Sports should be billing them.
Well, actually, they installed their own solar panels up top.
You know who is
selling it back to themselves?
Yeah. Right.
You know who is really happy about this though?
Me, since I didn't have to hear Pierre for 4 to 5 minutes.
It was Fox Sports.
Oh God, yes,
because
they were.
They were just like, oh, this is delicious. We couldn't broadcast this game, and now they're just...
Now they can't broadcast this game.
Well, you know, probably what would have happened, had Fox Sports been broadcasting, we would have been roasting the hell out of them, because they may have been lost their signal for that amount of time, too, potentially.
Yeah.
Maybe not, you know. But Fox Sports is like, oh, we dodged a bullet by not having to cover this game. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I'm not 100%... With Fox Sports and the whole broadcast setup that they have going on, but they may not have a truck there. They might have everything in house, and NBC is going to have a truck outside going to a different power feed, potentially.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly how Fox Sports works, but I know that they do try to keep things maybe a little bit more local or regionalized. Obviously, with the North, there's Fox Sports South and.
Well, and a lot of times, I think it was LaPanta had tweeted that, you know, they when they're on the road, they have a very small crew with them. It's yeah. it's like four guys, and or four folks, and you know all the camera they're using the camera feeds from the local guys.
It's all coming in house.
Yeah, so when they're on the road, they're at the mercy of.
So NBC must have their, I'm guessing that NBC's like, no, we've got our own crew, we've got our own stuff.
Right. You know, they need to have an extra camera on Pierre, you know, as his head's about to touch, what's his head from the Devils, and they're about to sword fight, you know. Cross some streams here.
Dude, seriously, like Yo, the coach from the Devils, and Pierre all in a row, it looked like Coneheads going on. Although it would be similar to us if I shaved my head.
Yeah, you better watch your mouth there, Hansley.
Except for we get more facial hair.
True.
And our heads are round.
This is cones. True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're the round heads.
And none of us, as of yet, have glasses.
Oh, well, one deserves glasses, but
yeah,
bifocals.
I can't deny that. I can't deny that.
Hey, we weren't calling anybody out.
That's all right.
So, all right.
Anyway, speaking of people who might need glasses or something, you know, the Wild special teams, mainly the power play. This year, the Wild are about 17.7% on power play, which is far below the league average, which is about 19%. And, I mean, that said, there's obviously something that's going wrong with the Wild's power play.
They even started the season off pretty strong in the power play.
They did.
But
so
it's been fading.
Yeah, I think it's one power play goal or something in the last 12 games or something
I'm
like
betting
that.
We could cut to an episode that we recorded last year on this time, and it would sum up exactly what we're all about to say right now.
Except that we'd have something about, I don't know.
Goalies
or Brodziak in there, and so that would just ruin it.
So now we just got to talk about Palmerville and the right. Power play.
So, and that's the thing, you know, the power play. If you look back to the Wild losses, usually our losses are, you know, one, sometimes two goals. I mean, we don't usually lose big.
No, we don't.
And that's where things like your special teams come in. I mean, when you get those opportunities, you're needing to capitalize on those things, and that's going to put more wins on the board.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we come out overtime losers even? Because we have to go to this 3-on-3 that we can't seem to get either. You know, maybe it's just this thing of
8 overtime losses, you know, so far this year.
8 overtime
losses. One was a shootout, 7 in 3-on-3.
Yep. And I think, doesn't that match our total overtime losses last year? I'm pretty sure is
it, it is. Does. Yep. Yeah. Eight last year.
Yeah.
Well, our special teams are definitely special right now.
They definitely are. So, I mean, that said, I mean, can we place all the blame for the power play woes on Burnett and the rest of the coaching staff for the Wild? Or, I mean, is this just a case of the players not performing up to par and not, you know, finishing the job?
Well, you know, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus here, but they seem to be doing okay before Sidora came back.
Oh, that's a different take I was not expecting.
Oh.
Here's what I'm going to say. You know what? Burnett, we went through the same thing with Burnett last year, like Kenny, like you said. Obviously, the players are going to bear some of that responsibility.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, they're the ones on the ice. Burnett isn't. That being said, someone needs to take the blame at some point. And if you're not going to fire Parisi, which you're not because you're not an idiot.
You're not going to fire the guy pulling in, who's putting asses in the seats.
Right. You're going to fire the guy who's making 300 grand as your special teams coach. And I think you got to blame Burnett. At a certain point, you have to put it on him. He's not. How many times have we seen it now on these power plays where guys just stand there? They're not moving.
They're not moving, which makes you easy to guard. I mean, it makes really, it
very easy. Very easy. I mean,
when you aren't rotating around and moving around, I mean, you're just a sitting target basically.
Right. Totally.
And I can line right up with you. I can put myself between you and the goal. Yeah, you got to keep it rotating around. But, you know, that said, I'm not a professional coach or anything like that, so I don't know that I would have all the answers for it. But there is some point, though, that the players themselves, I think, do need to be held accountable a little bit for it. Because there are times when they do get chances, and a lot of the times, you know, they're either wide or they shoot it right into the belly of the goalie. You know, it's, I think that there's equal blame. I can get on your side, though, where, you know, there's got to be a fall guy. There's got to be somebody who takes one for the team. And,
I'm agreeing with you on this one, where there's got to be a fall guy. Yeah. Is it the players standing around since Parisi was the one who was kind of basically contributing a lot on the power play, getting the goals? So is the players standing around just looking for him to get an open opportunity? Or is it the coaching staff saying, hey, Parisi's the one getting the goals, let's get the puck to him?
Yeah, I don't know what call they're making there, but really, I mean, that should be the point of your power play, is to move the puck around, find a lane, get the puck to the net in front of the net, and, you know, try to jam it home, basically. I mean, you've got an extra guy out there. There's got to be an open man who can find an open lane somewhere.
So we've got eight players who've had power play goals so far this year. Okay.
Dumba has the most.
He's second with three of them.
Parisi's got the most.
We got four defensemen with goals and four forwards. We do not have forwards that are scoring goals during the power play. Your four forwards are Koivu, Vanek, Parisi. All of them have four goals.
Mm-hmm.
You have Pominville with one, and that's it for your forwards.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
That was a lucky shot.
So you got Granlund with no goals. He does have six power play assists, though.
Okay.
So
he's setting up.
He's setting up. He's one of the team leaders in power play assists. Outside of that, I mean, what are we doing here?
Who are our D?
You know, the D, Dumba,
yep,
has got three. Suter's got two. Spurgeon's got two. Scandella's got two.
But you know what? Honestly, that does not surprise me.
No, that's a solid set there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone's going to complain about you know, that grouping.
But, I mean, being that we're halfway through the season, that's about the numbers that those guys should be on the power play.
Right. But, you know, we have got other guys that, you know, they might see some time on the power play, but they haven't been doing anything. And, you know, maybe it's just time that we're looking to juggle those power play lines a little bit.
Right.
You know.
Get some fresh blood working together. And
we've seen it a little bit.
Work on some chemistry. But
right. I mean, Pominville's got 5 points on the power play. Granlund's got 6.
That's still pretty weak for some top line forwards right there.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you start looking at moving those guys out because you got Parisi with 8, Vanek with 8, Koivu with 10. Palmers and Granny are lagging behind.
The sad part is, and I'm sure both of you have it too, is we've got guys on our fantasy team that are second and third line guys that have more power play points than what our top lines do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to, not to bring up fantasy, but just because we've got those guys, we're familiar with them on other teams, that, you know, our top line should be getting a lot more than what they have currently.
Yeah.
You know, the other guys with points and not goals, as far as forward goes, you got Coyle with 2 assists, Zucker with 2 assists, and Niederreiter with 1 assist.
That's pretty weak.
But be honest, those guys are
They don't get that much time.
They don't get that much time. You're right.
But I mean, Vanek for the longest time was second line power play, and he was the one that was racking them up outside of Parisi.
Well, and we have commented in past episodes this year that Vanek has definitely brought his game this year. And yeah, that said, I mean, he's definitely, you know, in my opinion, should be on our top line when we're even strength and when we're on the power play.
You know who's going to disagree with you?
Who's going to disagree with me?
Jeremy Roenick. Because he's an ass.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know,
the crocodile hunter.
Yeah. Somebody here may have recorded an episode not to be aired that may have put a bounty on somebody's head.
That's a knife? You think that's a knife? Anyway, yeah. Well, speaking of things that Roenick may or may not like, next, the rumors out there right now is that, you know, Jonathan Drouin, who plays for the Tampa Bay Lightning, he's been on the market. It's been well known for a while here. He's a forward, young kid. I think he's 20 years old. Tampa Bay is trying to shop him right now. They bumped him down to the AHL. I think he's got 2 goals in 19 games.
That's a good way to shop him.
Yeah, he's got 2 goals in 19 games so far with the Lightning. Rumor is that they're demanding, if the Wild want to dance with them and get Drouin, that they had to give Dumba up for him.
So they want a forward that they're sending down to the AHL for a potential top line D.
But he's a third overall pick, I think 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. So we're not talking about chump change here. You know, I think Dumba was, what, an 8th overall pick the year before that.
Yeah, but we've seen guys that have been lower picks that have succeeded way farther.
Yeah, I mean, where you get picked at doesn't necessarily predict how you'll actually perform in the NHL. But, I mean, really, the upside for Dumba is, I think, so huge. I think that his game continues to grow. He still makes some of the younger player mistakes.
Sure.
But I believe that with time, I mean, he's definitely a top one or two defensemen for a team. And honestly, I hope that the Wild don't ever dish that away. That's great talent there. He's got a great shot. And I can guarantee you years down the road that kid's going to have a great Hall of Fame career ahead of him. So.
It should be noted that, you know, Drouin has 2 goals in 19 games. It works out to about 11% of the games he scores a goal in. Hmm. Dumba's got, I believe, 5 goals in the 44 games.
As a defenseman.
As a defenseman, and that works out to be about 12% of the games. Mm-hmm. So Dumba is scoring goals in more games than Drouin is, and Drouin's a forward. You know, Dumba's, I think, a year older now. But Drouin, is Drouin the forward we even need? I guess is really what the question is.
No, I don't think so. I don't think giving up a top 4D for a potential third line forward for the Wild is a smart move.
I think you're underselling Drouin a little. I mean,
maybe
this is a kid who was on the same team, the Mooseheads, with Nate McKinnon, and he scored more than McKinnon.
All he hasn't this year.
But he hasn't this year.
How does your game though? How does it translate over into
the big game, the big show,
the big league? Right. I mean, that's the thing. Just because you shine there does not mean that it translates over that way into the NHL.
Right.
So that might be good for an Iowa Wild trade.
But you know, he might have been in these games though too, and you know. If you only get 5 minutes of ice time, you only get 5 minutes of ice time.
And he has been playing lower lines for the Lightning, you know, because you're not going to be playing first line minutes with, Stamkos.
Right.
So you might as well get over yourself a little bit and accept your role. And maybe that's part of it as well. You might just be a belly acher and, you know, the Bolts brass were like, you know, you can go sit and chill your ass out. And
is this a Johansson thing?
Yeah, maybe.
And that's the thing is, I think right now that the Wild don't need another prospect or something, you know, something to hope on for the future.
A project player, right? You know?
What we need, if we're gonna trade away some of our good young talent, we're gonna need something that's gonna come in and be a difference maker. We're gonna need that guy who's gonna come in and be a first or second liner. And light up the scoreboard
for us, really, is what we need. Trades that we had with Buffalo a few years ago, with getting the Palmaville, which I mean, obviously he's not doing anything this year, but that's what he was traded for.
Yeah,
that was the promise. That was the false bill of goods we were sold. And then Fletcher.
And then they laughed at us last night.
And then Fletcher.
Yes, they did.
As Palmaville flung it by the net.
And then Fletcher doubled down and said, well, we better give you an extension because he did so well for us. We got that Stanley Cup. Oh, wait. No, we didn't.
And who else did we get from Buffalo? We got Molson.
Molson.
Which we got rid of him right after. He was just a rental.
Yeah, he made me want to drink a Molson, I think. Many of them.
Then we got like just a handful of just
Vanek. I mean, via
in a roundabout way. In a
roundabout way, you know. I mean, we've got a lot of.
It was kind of known that's how it was going to happen. Like even when he went over,
just didn't think it was going to be as cheap as it was.
Right.
You know, but that's how it worked out.
So, and then people wonder why the Wild aren't doing how well they should be. We got all the players that basically weren't doing anything for Buffalo.
We've got the all-star team, if you combine the Wild and Buffalo, which were two really bad teams. So
yeah. A lot of rentals back and forth. And
go Wild!
Go Minnesota Sabres.
No, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Buffalo Wings. That does just sound like it should be a Minnesota company, doesn't it?
So, yeah, it's basically if the Wild, the Sabres, and the Red Wings combined, that's the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, wow.
I didn't think of it. It was a Reddit thing, so I will not take credit for that, but I found it very hilarious.
I won't take credit. I read it.
So, speaking of players moving, we got some all-star recap from the other week's discussion.
Oh.
So apparently since our last get together, the NHL has decided to take measures on changing the voting policy for getting players into the all-star game after John Scott got in.
Boo.
So it's not going to be, they don't know what they're going to do yet. It's not going to be 100% fan base.
It's not going to be John Scott in the All-Star game again.
Or Jágr. So you're not going to have a bruiser that's sitting down in the
Jágr's
AHL.
Jágr's doing well, though. Jágr,
he is.
You know,
except
he's
for
off the hook.
You know, except for Jágr, you know, says the fans are trying to kill him.
He was lights out against us. He put up 2 goals that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what changes do you think they're going to end up making on this? How do you think they're going to go about doing it? Is it going to be a partial fan? Like, they're going to pick some players and the fans can vote on them?
That's what I'm pretty sure they'll probably end up doing is, you know, they'll end up giving people a ballot, you know, with, you know, maybe the top lines from each, you know, team or whatever.
So kind of like how we get the vote for the president, just the top ones in each party.
Pretty much, yep.
Well, I'm sure it's not just Scott, but it's also, you know, Zemgis Gergensens from the Latvian from Buffalo. I'm sure that didn't add to things, you know. But I still...
Dude, he just... Was it him that just got in trouble with his girlfriend?
I don't know about that.
Like some after party and the cops got called? And like some crazy stuff and she ended up going to jail? I thought it was him.
It might have been. I don't know. I'm not going to back that up though. So I have no idea.
Really, I think
the TMZ of three in the box.
That the NHL is just grasping at straws here, anyways, for trying to get some sort of a viewership and excitement around the All-Star game in general.
Well, of course.
You know, they're changing the format this year, and I don't even think that it's, you know, just the NHL, but also, you know,
it's all sports.
Major League Baseball. I mean, you got your All-Star, you know.
Well, NFL is going to do the fantasy draft for their Pro Bowl now.
Yeah, so they're like, pick the teams, right?
NHL did that, and it worked out really well. Yeah. And then
that worked out really well.
Yeah, no one cares about your exhibition game. Good on you.
And you know,
in Hawaii.
Baseball, basketball, they have like some special skills competitions, you know, that they'll do to, try to spice it up a little. But really, I mean,
It's all those little things have like a limited shelf life. I remember as a kid, you know, when the Home Run Derby came around, I was like, wow, this is the coolest.
Right. Well, Home Run Derby was entertaining to watch.
Was. Past tense.
Operative word there. Was
getting thrown, you know, big old meatballs, and he just gets to crush them. Okay.
Well, that's okay. We're watching batting practice,
right?
Wow. Yep. And people are actually paying for tickets to this. Yeah. No, thank you. I know we covered this in the previous episode, but yeah, the All-Star game it turned into a bit of a joke. I think.
Well, and that was one of the questions that was brought up in this article was. Is this the fans basically, you know, their cry to the NHL saying this is a joke, so we're going to make a joke out of it? And I'm kind of agreeing with it, but I mean, we mentioned that before.
I don't know if it's the fans saying that this is a joke, but maybe more just proving a point.
Well, I think it's not necessarily that they're making a joke. I mean, they're obviously making a joke, but the problem is the NHL is going to be looking for a solution. And the problem is there really isn't a solution. All-Star games are exhibition games. They don't count. A billion goals are scored that are all meaningless. You know, it'd be like trying to get people enthused about a Harlem Globetrotters game.
Hey, you know? I like those games.
Those are fun. Do, do, do. That's entertaining basketball.
We get dude. 12 minutes of a game and then it's over?
Right. So I don't know. I just find the whole thing preposterous. So.
All right. Well, cool. Let's get into some Twitter talk, hey?
All right. This Twitter talk segment is brought to you by stateofhockeynews.com. Hooky. And of course, we've got questions from Derek Felska, and that's at State of Hooky News. Derek's first question, and we've actually compiled these over like several days. I think we scoured our Twitter history.
Yeah. So, you know, any of you out there listening, we will take questions not just from the day of the show. So feel free to ask them at any time,
yes,
and we'll add
do.
Them into our queue.
Whoever it may be. And we'll still allow Derek Felska to ask questions, you know.
On occasion.
On occasion, yeah.
We're going to give him a quota, though.
We are?
Yep.
What's our quota?
10 questions a week.
Okay. I can agree with that.
All right.
Anyway, first question up is, the NHL allowed obstruction to creep back into the game, or has the NHL allowed obstruction to creep back in the game? Is it time they start enforcing hooking, holding, and interference again?
I think they're doing a lot better job than, say, if you looked at video from 10 years ago and watched some of those games where it's like you're sitting there and you're watching obvious blatant calls just go awry. But I think there is a point where it's not as tight as, you know, it's not going to be every little infraction is getting called. They're going to let some people play a little bit more. You know, they're going to start loosening up a little bit, just to let the players actually be players again.
Yeah. And I really don't mind, you know, a little nudge here or, you know, tug there during gameplay. What I think is really starting to actually get out of hand again, if they're trying to rein things in and keep control under things, is the stuff that's going on after the whistles. Honestly, it's starting to look like when I play NHL hockey on the hockey? Xbox or something.
NHL
yeah.
hockey?
When I play it on the Xbox, I mean, you know, that's always the fun part after the whistle blows. You go around and you jam guys and you try to knock them over. But I'm seeing a lot of that, you know, the stuff after the whistle where, you know, they're going to tie each other up still. And I mean,
and nothing comes of it.
Nothing usually comes of it, but, you know, they're jawing at each other and, you know, pushing and shoving. And but once in a while, you'll see a guy go down. But
I see that as part of the sport, though. I mean, that's something that's been with hockey for a long time, and I don't think that's going to go away. I think he's talking more about, you know, the stuff during play.
Well, see, my issue is hooking I don't know so much about, but holding interference, particularly with board battles. And it's not even board battles at a certain point where the puck is totally gone and you've got a guy sitting on another guy.
Tying him up.
And the puck is nowhere near by that time because the puck's been cleared. And it's like, what is this adding to the game?
Or
honestly, a lot of those puck battles, it's like, it's a guy pressing another guy against the wall. And it's like, how, I don't understand how your mind can separate that from not being interference.
That's legal to tie them up.
How is that not interference, though?
How is that not interference? As long as the puck is around there.
Well, no, the puck's long gone at that point.
Jostling for position.
I think that's a logical disconnect.
Okay, how about in front of the net?
I would agree with that as
well. What goes on out in front there?
I don't think that should be happening either.
Well, this is where I get issues is with the goalie, because the goalie has the paint for a reason. They made the paint smaller in front of the net, so the goalie had less room to allow skaters to get in closer.
That's fine.
And you're starting to now see skaters inside of the blue paint and stuff not getting called on before the puck enters that zone. You know, before they start battling, and the goalie interference isn't getting called.
And did you see what they had to go through for, you know, like the 15 seconds before that?
Oh, yeah.
Just to get there? Jabs in the back, elbows, and,
well,
you know,
it's like getting,
pokes from the stick. And
it's like getting to the front row of a metal show. I mean, dude, right. You know what we go through? Like, jabs in the back, pokes in the ribs.
Well, that's the thing, is you're going to let
boobs in your face every now and again if you're lucky.
That's if Bufflin's on the ice.
Well, if you're going to let it slide there, you're going to let it slide everywhere.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think more so, and I think what Aaron was getting at is, you know, there's, well, not necessarily the board battles, but there's a puck that's cleared, and you got a guy who's still jackhammering on a guy's back.
Well, and it's like
in the other zone.
Is that the hockey you want to watch? I mean, I don't want to see
that ice.
I don't want to see boring hockey where a guy is just tying up another guy.
You want 3-on-3s all game.
I would rather see that than, you know.
Well, they're making a 4-on-4 when you got one guy jackhammering the other guy in the wrong zone.
Of course, Kenny, when we talk about jackhammering another guy in the wrong zone.
Kenny laundering again.
Kenny's just doing a facepalm because he just realized what he said. Oh, so good.
Whoops.
Jackhammering in the wrong zone. Kimang is big.
All right.
Back on topic.
Yeah, let's go to the next question. What else does Kowalski got us to talk about?
So, after that last horrible, horrible loss against Buffalo, there was some excuses that were made from broadcast staff, coaching staff, players, and I'm just going to run through them real quick. Audra, you know, a host of NBC or Jesus,
Fox Sports.
I'm sorry.
Studio.
Yeah. Audra from Fox Sports Studio said, you know, they had a hot goalie. Parisi said it was bad ice. Gorg said it was a busy schedule.
Gorgie
said busy schedule. Yo said mentally tired. You know, so Felska asks, what excuse do you buy? Do you explain why the Wild have been so awful in its last three home games against, you know, quote, bad Eastern Conference foes?
So I have to buy one of those?
Buy one or buy all?
I'd like to buy a vowel.
or buy none.
The one I will buy, if I'm going to buy any of them, because I think they're all pretty crappy excuses, but the one I would buy was Gorg's busy schedule. There's been a lot of back-to-backs, and we've got more back-to-backs coming.
That busy schedule almost ties in the Yos with mentally tired.
Yeah, maybe. I guess
I would put those two as pretty close.
Bad ice, I mean, you're playing at home in Minnesota, and it's like negative 9 degrees out.
Yeah.
Screw you. It's not bad ice, Parisi. Hot goalie, meh.
He was looking pretty solid, but...
Yeah, all the goalies look solid when they play the Wild.
Yeah, when you lose, that goalie's going to look hot. And that's the way we always say it. It's like, oh, we played, you know...
We ran into a brick wall.
Right.
I mean, with Parisi saying bad ice, there was...
It was Al Montoya. He was on fire, you know?
There was, very early on in the game, that they were patching up some spots against the side of the boards. But bad ice, there should be no excuse for bad ice in Minnesota, especially when it's minus 20 outside.
How about they not book some stupid event before a home game? You know, how about they better plan that, you know, stuff out better? You know,
SCXL trying to make up the money they lost from bad. Well, apparently
the XL can't power the stadium correctly and can't power whatever equipment it is to keep ice cold.
So,
I suppose it's not the XL Ice Center, so...
No, it's not. It's the Energy Center. Too much energy flowing underneath that ice.
By the way, sorry. So I was at the game on Thursday, and I take exception with their fan screamometer thing. It has no bearing on whether or not the fans were yelling loud. And it was like, it was the most lukewarm crowd, and the meter was like kept on going up higher and higher.
Yeah, okay.
Like, oh yeah, they're screaming. It's like, and everyone is just sitting there like with their thumbs up their butts. And
oh, it's just a graphic.
Oh, but it was usually though the fans are like clapping, you know, and like yay.
What?
You know?
Okay, so
it was like the crowd couldn't. It was like the crowd was defying. Like they were looking at that graphic and they're like, no, I am not cheering.
You will not make me cheer.
Right.
So what's been with that lately? I mean, it seems like the crowd at the X has been just very subdued lately. Have you noticed that?
Fair weather Minnesota fans.
Team of 17,999.
Oh, they finally get rid of Nordy?
We lost one somewhere.
Cut his mullet.
Oh. Anyways, let's get into Felska's next question, our last and final Twitter question of the day. This question is, who do you think is the Wild's number one whipping boy? Who would you call out?
I'll tell you who I think the number one whipping boy is. I don't think I would call him out, but I think this is who the whipping boy is, and that is Holla.
I'm going to say the same thing, but I don't agree with it.
Right.
I don't think he should be, but I do see him as the whipping boy.
Right. He's not the one. He has spark. I don't think he's defensively super sound, but he's like a whipping boy. And
it doesn't matter how hard he tries, what he does, how physical he is.
I don't
how
know
much
if
speed he shows. It seems like he's always in the doghouse.
Was he banging Yo's wife or something? I mean,
ooh, maybe. Maybe his daughter.
He's like, holla! As he's pounding away.
Three in the box and goes undercover to investigate.
Hala's hitting Yo's wife in the wrong zone.
Wait, three in the box goes under the covers.
To investigate Yo's wife's box.
Oh, Jesus.
As Hala is jackhammering Yo's wife in the wrong zone.
In the wrong box?
Just saying
this show just took a horrible turn. Horrible.
That's what she said.
Okay, so Kenny and I say Hala. Jive.
Now, the Wild's number one whipping
boy?
Yeah,
their number, yeah. And then we can go back. Why don't you pick the Wild's number one whipping boy, and then you can start off on who you think should be the number one whipping boy.
Well, I'm going to have to say that I would probably agree with you guys. I mean, it's pretty obvious that Hala is the one that's there. He's been back and forth on those bottom lines, you know, all season long. He's been a healthy scratch. But I think that the real whipping boy, who's just getting dragged along for the ride, wasting out his last years, is one Niklas Backstrom. There's no use for him.
He's just taking up the healthy scratch spot night after night. Every once in a while, he gets to show up on the bench looking really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh.
Just notice we don't have a whip crack
example. He's like, oh, poor Finn.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Kenny, what are you thinking?
I'm going to, oh, man, there's a few in there.
I think there's a couple that are very obvious.
I think Palmerville's an obvious one.
Yeah, that's almost like a softball, though. It's like it's too obvious.
I think Nino's up there.
Nino has not looked that great this year.
And, I mean, Prosser's been out, so it's tough to see where he's going to be. But
and Prosser's, you know, third line D, and you're not expecting much from him anyway.
No. But, you know, maybe Brodin.
Hmm? And see, I was going to go Granlund. I mean,
what about Brodziak?
Brodziak.
They already got rid of him.
Oh!
So, yeah, I mean, that's the doghouse right there, right?
Yo's doghouse. So, brought to you by
Derek Felska.
And,
StateOfHockeyNews.com.
All right.
You've been hockey news.
Let's talk about our couple upcoming games.
Two games ahead, right, Kenny?
Two games. We have the Jets here, and then we have the Wild at the Purds, Friday, Saturday, back-to-back.
Who is the Purds?
The Purds.
The Birds?
The Purds.
Haven't you heard?
The Purds, the word.
The Purds, the word.
The Predators.
The Purds, the word.
Actually, is that the last game before the All-Star break, or do we got a couple after that? I think we have a couple...
We have a couple more, yeah.
There's an All-Star game?
Yeah.
Okay.
A few, apparently, this year.
A few of them.
Yeah, there's that
tournament
that
thing.
That Dubnyk guy is playing, even though he belongs in the AHL, right?
Yep.
Or something.
All right. Well, should we...
Yeah, so, Jeff, who are you thinking?
I think...
What's our game?
Let's start with the game first.
Right? Well, let's start with the game.
I'm gonna pick the Jets at the Wild.
Game of the week
as our game of the week. Yep. I really think that you know, as much fun as it is to, you know, harsh on the Predators whenever we have to play them, I just think that the games between the Wild and the Jets always seems to be, you know, fun, close, tight match. Sometimes it, you know, the score might not always, I guess, look quite as close on the scoreboard. I think there've been a couple of, you know, two or three goal games there, but I definitely think that that game should be fun. And I'm going to pick the Wild to win this one, since the Wild are playing at home. And I'm going to go with the Wild winning a tight one. It'll probably be like a 1-0 game going into the
third period. Oh, that's pretty low scoring. Yep,
yeah, and then they're going to score an empty netter. So I'm going to go with the Wild shutting out the Jets 2-0.
Wow. All right. Bold move.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to go with the Jets. The Wild have not been playing well at home lately.
Nope.
It doesn't seem to matter what they do to try to change it. It's been not good. The Jets are kind of sitting around where the Wild are right now, you know, obviously halfway through the season and still vying for that, you know, either wild card or definite playoff spot. And I mean, with the division of death that we're in,
what are the Wild shooting for?
Well, obviously the same thing, but I mean, it's a tough division. So everybody's going to be scrapping for that last little point. And I see the Jets fighting a little bit harder. I think it's going to be a little higher scoring game. I see the Wild getting 2 goals, but I see the Jets getting 4.
So here's what I'm thinking. It's been 3 weeks since we had Derek Felsk on the show. And in that time, I've picked 2 teams. This is our 3rd week now. So we've had 2 weeks since his episode. In those 2 weeks, I've picked 2 teams to win, and they've both lost. And both times I picked against the Wild, and the Wild ended up winning. So again, I'm going to go with the Wild losing to the Jets 3-2. And I'm going with the thought that I'm going to inherit Derek Felsk's negative energy, and that will actually cause the Wild to win.
There you go. way to think of the team and not just yourself.
That's
a great job.
I got to do what I got to do, yep. I will take one for the team.
Very nice.
So I think this is a show. I think we've talked enough about NBC Sports and, sword fights and jackhammering away at people.
Boxes.
Babies. And
babies.
Kenny laundering.
And all sorts of great stuff like that. So, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find the links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Kenny, where can people find you?
So you can find me at about.me/IamKenny. That is KENNEY. Or if you just want to find my Twitter stuff, which usually gets most of the pertinent information, you can now find it at my new Twitter handle at NostraKennyus.
Yes.
Jive.
Yeah. When I'm not with these guys at 3 in the Box and not being pulled away to be a grandpa, you can certainly find out about me. I'm on about.me/HeyJive.
Awesome.
All right. I think that's a show.
A show.
Good night, folks.
See ya.